Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Boy, hot topic today, Justin Trudeau and what is going on with trying to freeze the bank accounts of the truckers. Is there a bank run going on in Canada right now? I know a lot of the banks, I think four or five of them, had really, really big problems last night. If you haven't heard, we're going to get into all that right now with my good buddy, Doomberg. Doomberg, welcome back to the show, my friend.
George, always a pleasure to be on with you. We published a real heater of a piece this morning and appreciate that you invited us to come and talk about it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Let's dive right in. Just watch me.
There you go. So just watch me is a very famous phrase in Canadian politics. And we ended the piece with the origin of that phrase, but it comes from Justin Trudeau's father, former Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who was the last prime minister to invoke emergency powers against his own people. And when a reporter asked him, how far are you willing to go in violating people's civil liberties in order to, you know, restore what you think is law and order, he replied, just watch me. And we thought this is a pretty interesting coming of full circle. And so this piece really is a call to action for what we see is really dangerous escalation in the political leadership in the Western world, Canada, Europe, and the United States, and their assault on the liberties and freedoms of law-abiding citizens, exercising their right to free speech. You know, there's going to be many people out there who think that the truckers have, quote, gone too far. What is your recourse when you think government has gone too far?
Exactly.
And this is really the ultimate debate. And what Trudeau has done is really a shocking thing. And so
I didn't realize his father did the same thing and he was the last to do it. Wow.
Yeah. So and I would argue he probably had more justification than his son in 1970, not to get too far off course, but we do know our Canadian history here at Doomberg. There was a rebel group, a part of the separatist movement in Quebec called the FLQ. Fédération Libération du Québec. And my French is wrong. I'm sure some Canadians will correct me, but the FLQ kidnapped one politician and another business person, I believe, and ultimately murdered one of them. And his father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who was prime minister at the time, a very charismatic guy, by the way. Trudeau mania was sort of a combination of Bill Clinton style, sort of very charismatic guy, very popular leader in his day. He called in the military to put down the FLQ rebellion in the city of Montreal. And the opening quote to this piece is him talking to a reporter saying, well, there's a lot of bleeding hearts around who just don't like to see people with helmets and guns. And all I can say is go on and bleed. But it's more important to keep law and order in the society than to be worried about weak-kneed people who don't like the looks of a soldier's helmet. Never mind that those soldiers were being deployed against citizens and the FLQ, you know, the kidnapping was really a criminal offense and they murdered somebody. There's no question. These were not good people, but those are criminal offenses that can be, you know, handled by the police. And when Pierre Trudeau called the military on his own citizens back in 1970, that was really, in hindsight, history hasn't treated him very well on that move. And that was a real stain on his legacy. And I would argue that he had much more justification than what his son has for doing what his son has just done, which is really shocking. It should scare everybody listening. And it's really, I think, totally unacceptable. So we begin the piece by telling the story of Richard Reid, the famous shoe bomber, and how the actions of one man have inconvenienced and eroded the freedoms of the entire country. And we estimate that what we think is enforcement theater, 10 billion times people have had to take their shoes off going through the security line in the United States, even though those X-ray machines can't detect explosives. This is just theater.
And so what we're doing right here, and I want to point this out, guys, because this is super important. We're talking about doing a cost benefit analysis.
Trade-off.
So the cost, correct. And this is what politicians, we have seen this front and center, especially in 2020, 2021, and today. But the politicians just talk about a perceived benefit.
Yeah.
Just a perceived benefit. That's so important. And then they completely ignore the cost. And now, I didn't even tell Mr. Doomberg I was going to do this, but I want to give you guys an example. I've told this story a couple times on, I think, my other channel on George Gammon. I don't know if you guys can see this. Can you see that, Doomberg?
I can. That's a bullet casing, it looks like.
Yeah. That is huge. So here's my thumb, and I have very big hands. I can palm a basketball.
Is that a 50 cal?
I have no idea. But this is a necklace that I bought, and you can see that the top is still on there.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Right? So I bought this necklace about, I was dating a gal. Gal was a model up in New York. So we went out there and we went to a flea market in, this would have been 2012-ish, something like that. And I purchased this and I threw it in my toiletries bag and I completely forgot it was there. And about 2 years went by and probably at a very minimum 50 flights. I mean, yeah. International flights, domestic flights, going through TSA here, TSA there. And sure, they took away my water bottle. They took away my cuticle scissors probably 10, 15 times. But to this day, now we are, 10 years later, and I just went and grabbed it out of my toiletry bag. TSA has never got this. They've never found this, not even once.
We mentioned in the piece that in a 2015 undercover experiment, the TSA failed to detect 95% of fake weapons.
Yeah.
Being brought on the planes. So, you know, this is not a criticism of the TSA. This is a criticism of the inability for politicians and the people they allegedly represent to make reasonable trade-offs. And so what happens, especially when the risks being managed are in the headlines.
Yeah.
And so what you have is this desire to get to zero risk if the risk being managed is in the headlines. And so after 9/11, despite the fact that the only new development was using airplanes as weapons. And the only real solution to that is, you know, fortifying the doors and the cockpit doors and doing deeper background checks on pilots so that they don't use planes as weapons. We have this whole host, this USA Patriot Act, which we call sort of a, you know, a nightmare, Orwellian nightmare of government intrusion into your privacy and basic rights, right, which is designed to create zero risks around airplane travel, even though we accepted before 9/11 that occasionally one in a million your flight's going to get hijacked or your flight's going to get bombed.
But it doesn't create zero risk, and that's another point. Listen, if the bad guys want to get a plane, they're going to get a plane regardless of what you do at TSA. That's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. And we go into that in the piece. And so, at what point does the incremental, you know, need for protection by and from the state, at what point does that validate the erosion of your rights? And and people have been ringing this bell for a very long time. And the point of our article is Justin Trudeau's actions this week are the ultimate validation of the people that have been sounding the alarm since the Patriot Act. And this is really, really, really terrifying development. And if he gets away with it, it's going to be a very bad example for the world. I'd say the Five Eyes nations are watching to see whether he will be able to get away with this. And if he does, we're all in big trouble. So here's four observations that flow from 9/11. We are incapable of making reasonable trade-offs. The second one, the next paragraph, which you know well, fear is a powerful tool of propaganda. And then, you know, if you keep scrolling down, the third is the arrow of time here is your freedom is always being more encroached, never less.
You're right.
These restrictions never go away.
Yep.
And so then the last one is the effort to demonize people like you and I and your listeners who are raising a skeptical eyebrow to such measures is a very easy lift. So yeah, you might recall this 20 years ago now, but seems like yesterday for me. I'm sure you remember it well. You know, in the period after 9/11, anybody who criticized the Patriot Act was defiling the memory of every lost fire department of New York hero. And they used that leverage. And then we go on to quote this really powerful segment of Dimitri's podcast with Simon Mikhailovich, where he talks about when you're standing in line at the TSA, you are in the Soviet Union. Don't kid yourself. This is when you give this power to bureaucrats and government officials, they will abuse it. The history of this is unblemished. It's 100%. And we're seeing that now in Canada. And this is where we pivot in the piece.
For those, Doomberg, for those who haven't totally followed the story with Canada, can you briefly go over what Trudeau has done that would fall into this category of what we're talking about?
Sure. So if you scroll down a bit, it'll make sense too as they see it.
Where do you want me to stop?
Just keep going right about there. Okay. Essentially, Justin Trudeau, at a time when COVID and Omicron were waning and serious questions about the efficacy of the vaccines are being raised, and Pfizer is hiding the data and all the things that you've talked about, Trudeau doubled down and picked a fight with Canadian truckers. And these people sit in their truck cabs most of the day. They're the lowest risk people in our society. And they instituted a vaccine mandate, and the rest is history. We see that the truckers have protested. They've shut down Ottawa. And then the big mistake is what Trudeau did was he called these people racist Nazis, basically. And once you do that, a big point for us is that he left himself no face-saving exit from the crisis that he had to know was coming. And so he only had one path, which was to crush them, because no respectable politician can deal with somebody that you've just called a Nazi. And by the way, these are salt of the earth people that do all the hard work. One of the frustrations of the truckers is the people making and implementing these decisions rarely have to live with them. They fly private. You know, they have their own solutions. Their kids go to private schools where they don't have to wear masks all day. This is essentially the ultimate manifestation of income inequality driven by the hat that you're wearing and the Fed. And so this, you know, that it came to a head here is interesting, but not particularly surprising. It had to come to a head somewhere. And then the most arrogant thing, which is under that subscribe button, which all the people viewing this should do, is by positioning the rights and freedoms and values of Canadians as something that needed his blessing to ensure.
Right.
Is the ultimate sign, as we say, this is a person born on third base who thought he hit a triple. You know, this is the son of a Canadian prime minister. And 3 weeks ago on Twitter, we predicted this. Trudeau is ill-equipped for what's coming. And I think that prediction has stood the test of time. And so because of his inability to see, to understand that the people were very angry about his policies, he couldn't wrap his head around it. He failed to get ahead of this. He as you may know, pretended like he had been exposed to COVID and then later claimed that he tested positive and went into hiding as this protest unfolded. And only now, some 18 days after the event began, he decides that he's going to, you know, basically cross what we say is an incredibly dangerous Rubicon with a really, really terrible and long lasting decision, which is he is effectively declaring martial law in Canada. And the words that they use should scare the hell out of everybody listening to this.
Right.
If the politicians decide that you are, quote, involved, with no definition of involved, your bank accounts can be frozen. Your crypto wallets can be blacklisted. The names of donors to this movement have been hacked. Be very interesting to see who the hackers were. And then to their everlasting shame, reporters at the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, which is the federally funded House organ of Justin Trudeau, have been harassing the donors and publicizing their names and the names of their businesses to basically shame them and to try to destroy their lives. This is not reporting. This is the worst of the worst that was experienced in the Soviet Union. If you live in Canada today, you have the equivalent rights of a Soviet citizen in the USSR, period. And that's coming here if we don't do something about it. So if you scroll down, the word involved is key. So she says, anyone involved? So we wrote about it. Are we now involved?
Huh? This is the gal that made the announcement about the bank accounts, right?
Exactly. And so we say, you know, left unsaid is a definition of involved. Right. And by the way, history teaches us that that word is going to get very broadly applied. And involved. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I was talking about? Boy, going back probably a year and a half, maybe, since I started the channel. And my concern back then is the word domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
That they were going to start using that over and over and over. And what that meant would just continue to be more and more broad until the point where it just included anyone with an unacceptable view
based
on the mainstream narrative.
You might as well have written our piece if you go to the next paragraph. Yeah. The definition of terrorist has evolved from one who wishes to blow up planes to one who disagrees with the political choices of their current government.
There you go.
And, you know, if they can freeze your bank accounts without a court order or just judicial review based on nothing more than a politician's nebulous definition of involved, then you are living in a dictatorship.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And then we finish the piece with this amazing video of, and if you can play through it and people can hear it, it would be worth it. It's a good two minutes. And by the way, we characterize Justin's father of as having dangerous charisma, as you'll see when you watch this clip.
Is this Justin's father?
Yeah, just press play.
This guy?
That's him. The guy smiling at you is Pierre Trudeau, and this is the infamous interview where he says, just watch me. So go ahead and press play. It's right there. It's embedded.
Let me get the microphone down there. And I'm going to turn up the volume here on my mixer so everyone can hear it.
And George, if you haven't seen this, this will blow your mind.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I'm super excited here.
This isn't my choice, obviously. You know, I think it's more important to get rid of those who are committing violence against the total society and those who are trying to run the government through a parallel power by establishing their authority by kidnapping and blackmail. And I think it's our duty as a government to protect government officials and important people in our society against being used as tools in this blackmail. No, you don't agree to this, but I'm sure that, once again, with hindsight, you would have probably found it preferable if Mr. Cross and Mr. Laporte had been protected from kidnapping, which they weren't, because the steps we're taking now weren't taken. But even with your hindsight, I don't see how you can deny that.
No, I still go back to the choice that you have to make in the kind of society that you live in.
Well, there's a lot of bleeding hearts around who just don't like to see people with helmets and guns. All I can say is go on and bleed. But it's more important to keep law and order in this society than to be worried about weak-kneed people who don't like the looks of a
social
family.
At any cost? At any cost? How far would you go with that? How far would you extend that?
Well, just watch me.
At reducing civil liberties to that extent?
To what extent?
Well, if you extend this and you say, well, okay, you're going to do anything to protect them, this includes wiretapping, reducing other civil liberties in some ways?
Yes, I think the society must take every means at its disposal to defend itself against the emergence of a parallel power which defies the elected power in this country. And I think that goes to any distance. So long as there is a power in here which is challenging the elected representative of the people, I think that power must be stopped. And I think it's only, I repeat, weak-kneed, bleeding hearts who are afraid to take these measures.
You know, the first thing that was coming to my mind there is, boy, I wish we had media like that today.
Well, the second thing that comes to my mind is imagine what that guy would do with the tools that his son has.
Yeah.
He has dangerous charisma. God bless him. He was way more effective a politician than his son. But as we finish the piece with that line, if you scroll down an inch, imagine what Pierre would try to get away with today. And this is really scary because there will be a Pierre Trudeau with dangerous charisma who ascends to the heights of power. And given the precedence, you know.
It sounded very similar to what you would hear Mussolini say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because he was very obviously strict and just you had to abide by these rules because it was for the good of society.
Correct.
And at any cost.
At any cost.
Absolutely. And anyone who opposed that was weak. That was fascism, the Italian brand of fascism.
I used to wonder how people like Mussolini ascended to power. I don't anymore.
Yeah.
And it's because people submit themselves to this incremental encroachment by the state against their liberties. I believe that the Freedom Convoy in Canada is the manifestation of a deeper frustration. In our piece, if you read it, has nothing to do with vaccines or truckers in reality. It has everything to do with where do we draw the line between collective freedom, individual freedom, you know, commitment to the state versus commitment to the individual. Nobody is saying that, you know, we can't, that there's a way for us to live as a functioning society where everybody can be completely free to do whatever they want anytime they want. Of course not. We always interfere with each other. It's a matter of degree. And our piece sounds the alarm, and many others have written similar pieces, that we think the pendulum is pushing a little too far here. If the government, so for example, we wrote a piece today about it. We are now, quote, involved, because we wrote a piece that could be viewed as supportive of the Freedom Convoy. and the government of Canada has declared a state of emergency. So if somebody goes and buys a Doomberg mug from Canada, somebody who lives in Canada goes and buys a Doomberg mug, are they now, could they have their bank accounts closed? It doesn't sound like that would be something that would be plausible. We're not that far from it. When the Patriot Act was passed, it was promised that it would only be used against people who the state had a reason to believe would try to blow up a building, take a plane down, plant a dirty bomb in a big city, propagate a bioweapon, you know, through the mail like anthrax. And now it's being turned against citizens, law-abiding citizens. People will say, oh, they're breaking the law in the demonstration in Ottawa. Fine, we can debate that. But that's a police action. That is not the basis for which we should normalize the invocation of martial law in a G7 country like Canada.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today.
And I would argue too, and I have on several videos, that you've got to ask yourself, if it were not for the Patriot Act, would we have had the lockdowns in 2020?
Of course not. This is
Because people, to your point, they get conditioned. You're boiling the frog slowly.
Yeah.
And to our, and we've seen that happen. We've seen that at an accelerated rate since 2020. You know, first it starts with 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Everyone says, yeah, okay, that's fine. And then all of a sudden it's, well, you're going to, we're going to fire you if you don't inject this foreign substance into your body. And people are like, well, I don't really agree with that, but okay. And then they say, well, now you need to do it with your five-year-old. And then they say, now, if you are against this, the government in Canada, then we're going to go ahead and freeze your bank account. You know, that's how quickly we've gone from A to Z since 2020. But the setup there, and I think this is your point, goes back 20 years. So we need to be hyper-focused. We need to be cognizant of that today to make sure that we're not in a far worse position in 5, 10, 20 years because of what we're doing today.
It's hard to see how we won't be. You know, I think this is a really pivotal time in Canada, and in fact, here for the U.S. as well. What stops the Biden administration or his successor, if on the Republican side, from using these very same tools? There's a novelty to what Trudeau, out of desperation, is doing up north. And if it succeeds, it's going to be a very troubling time, I think, for all free people in the Western world.
See, that's what people on the left, or the people that may agree or that may dislike the truckers, that's what they don't understand, is that you may sit there and cheer for Trudeau right now because you agree with him. But the same powers that the government, forget Trudeau, it's the government, the same powers that the government is usurping today, at some point in time, it will be used against you.
Yeah, if you're violently anti-Trump, for example, and you think Trump is offensive to everything that you hold dear about the country, this precedent could be used by President Trump if and when he comes back into office, and I would be just as opposed to it. And, you know, the one of the things I intend to do this evening is to go, you know, we pin the publication of that piece as our pinned tweet on Twitter. And I'm going to go through and find every Canadian who is coming out against our piece and tweeting about it. And I'm going to reply to them with a very simple phrase. We wrote that piece for you.
Great. That's right. That's
we wrote that piece for your freedoms. You could disagree with our piece. That's fine. We wrote it for you.
That's right. Well said. Well said. So, Doomberg, how do people protect themselves? Actually, one thing I want to go over, I was going to do a separate video on this, but we might as well pull it up. I'm going to go over to my Twitter feed, guys, really quick, and I can get there somehow.
I love the Kathy doesn't even subscribe to Zoom, even though it's one of her big holdings. So.
Yeah. I think Chris put that out earlier.
Great,
didn't he?
Great moment in CNBC history.
Yeah, here we go. So this gentleman tweeted this out last night. So he says, what the hell is happening to the Canadian banks right now? So guys, basically Trudeau came out and said that they, like Doomberg said, they may freeze accounts for the truckers.
They have.
So as you would imagine, the Canadian citizens heard that and said, whoa, 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 I could be next. So let me go down to the bank and take out my cash. Now, they're not claiming that's what happened. They're claiming this is something to do online, but I think it's very suspicious.
Yeah.
And very coincidental, to say the least, that these two things happened at the same time. So this is a chart of Scotiabank outages reported in the last 24 hours. Look at the spike here. And this was as of last night. And it's not just Scotia. RBC, BMO, TD, Canadian Trust, all of them. And I think that's another thing that's extremely suspicious, is that they would all have this problem at the exact same time. What are your thoughts?
I don't know whether that's signal or noise. I know that the Canadian banks have a long history of facilitating money laundering. And it's kind of ironic that the Canadian government has decided to expand the anti-money laundering and terrorist financing acts, you know, that they have it to include crowdfunding in support of the protesters. I do think this, like if the public loses trust that they will be able to access their own money from a bank account, that's a pretty small putt from here to a bank run. I don't think one will happen, to be honest with you. I think they'll just stop allowing people to withdraw money. But, you know, this is a very dangerous thing. I think this is in many ways worse than being charged with a crime. Being debanked without recourse
Right.
is an extraordinarily severe form of punishment. And we need to realize as citizens that once it becomes normalized that politicians can debank somebody for an opinion. So for example, you could say, well, here's what I mean by that. So you can say it's not right that the truckers are clogging up downtown Ottawa. We can agree to disagree on that. But what we're talking about here is before you knew that they were going to clog up Ottawa and this was just a movement, you made a donation to the GoFundMe campaign. Those names are being forwarded to banks and saying, please determine whether these are the type of people that you want to do business with. Now, if you could have donated to the truckers long before the Canadian government planted all these accusations of all these people are nothing but racist Nazis, you just made a donation because you are, you didn't want to take the vaccine and you thought the truckers were consistent with your cause. So that was basically an expression of your speech to donate money to a movement prior to, you know, the declaration of martial law. That record is being sent to banks today. Now, what does that do for people? What does that do for people's trust in the banking system? What does that do for people's trust in government?
Effectively, that's Soviet Russia. You can sit there, the politicians can say, this is the land of the free, and we have this constitution, and we have liberty, and we have freedom of speech. But do we? Because you know that if you step out of line, I mean, this is like KGB stuff. If you step out of line one little iota, then you know that your life is going to be destroyed.
Correct.
So do we really have freedom of speech if we have this level of self-censoring because of what they're doing?
The worst enablers, the reporters for the CBC, who are this database of donors was hacked and then splashed all over the media. The CBC is literally sending emails to donors requesting a response and to justify themselves for having donated to this. And there was a story of a woman who owns a small business who donated, I think, $250. And her name and her business were splashed all over the news. Now, Twitter normally has a policy that, you know, you can't propagate doxed material. And they seem to have invented that policy for a certain laptop. We see no hesitation for Twitter allowing these reporters to splash these people's private information all over Twitter today. So clearly, this is just a political issue. And if people donating to a cause, are you now involved? So again, you may not be the person in Ottawa who's blocking traffic or violating, you know, the free flow of goods at a bridge, you know, across the U.S.-Canadian border. You simply expressed an opinion by donating money to people. You are not responsible for the behavior of those people after you've given them money. But yet, under the Emergency Act that Justin Trudeau just invoked in Canada, the act of donating to a cause that you believe in could get you unbanked.
Yeah, so what happens to donations in the future? Not just for the truckers, but let's just say XYZ movement that you believe in the future. What they've done is squashed any future dissent from the government narrative, because now no one, even if there is GoFundMe, let's say, no one is going to use it because they're
finished. They're finished. And we tweeted, per your thought, right after this came out, political contributions are next.
Yeah, right.
You make the donation to the wrong party, you're going to get unbanked.
Right.
This is dictatorship.
You're donating to terrorists.
This is the kind of story that we used to tell ourselves about the Soviet Union to rally ourselves to say, this is why we are fighting for freedom.
Exactly. And when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, this is what they would teach
this
you
was
in
the propaganda
about why Russia was bad.
This is the propaganda they used to unify us against this common enemy. And now we have it right in front of us, and millions of people can't see it for what it is. It's really amazing and scary. I used to wonder how Mussolini happened. I don't anymore.
Well said. How can people protect themselves?
I've gotten to a bit of a scuffle with the Bitcoin maxis on Twitter over this. One of the things the Canadian authorities have done has systematically identified the wallets involved in trying to donate cryptocurrencies to, and they have frozen those wallets, and they've sent a list of blacklisted crypto wallets to every Canadian financial institution that needs to have it, telling these institutions that you do not transact with these wallets. Bitcoin doesn't solve this. This is a government issue. This is not a currency issue. This requires, you know, peaceful demonstration of your political opinions, voting, becoming engaged, volunteering for a political party peacefully, and to express this is a political solution. Our elected leaders need to understand that this is a line too far, and we need to vote for and support politicians who agree and oppose and vote against politicians who don't. But there's no magic panacea. If the government truly wants to unbank you, you're finished.
Would this motivate you as an American citizen to take some cash out of the bank?
Because I don't have a lot of cash in the bank. I earn in fiat. I save by buying real assets. And then I invest privately in businesses where we can affect the outcome. And right. The cash I have in the bank serves my liquidity needs. But, you know, the next step is they'll just take the land you owned or the gold that you own or your collection of art that you own that you're buying as a hedge against inflation. Like, there's no stopping that. If the government can debank you for an opinion, then we've lost. It's over.
I wonder, I'm just thinking out loud. I wonder if that debanking for the Canadian citizens would apply if they left the country, you know, because I'm in Colombia right now, down in Medellin, so that they would communicate. So wherever you go in the world, because I'm thinking, you know, if you've got your Bitcoin wallet as an example, you go to El Salvador, let's say, and now all of a sudden you're home free. That's purchasing power outside of the banking system.
The average person's not going to do that, they shouldn't have to. The point is, if we've gotten to that point, we've lost.
I agree. I'm just trying to think of a couple things that people can do. I know you and I both like Rolexes quite a bit. I discuss that, and people initially, think I'm crazy. But then once I explain the rationale, they're like, well, actually, that makes quite a bit of sense.
It's the best performing asset in my portfolio in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
But seriously, there isn't, and this might not be the answer that people like to hear. This is a political problem that requires a political solution. There is no investment strategy that's going to be able to circumvent a state that is motivated to debank you.
You're right.
These are nuclear powers of the government. And by the way, it happens here in the U.S. Like, you can be debanked. Wells Fargo will just tell you that you're a high risk and they're closing your account. It happens to, for example, people who own gun shops. It's very difficult for them to get banking. That's a very dangerous precedent. And the people on the far left know this is a critical weak point, which is why, you know, the next evolution of the anti-Joe Rogan campaign will be attacking Spotify's payment processor. This is the third rail, I believe, in politics that should never have been touched. If you debank somebody because of their opinion, because of their speech, the country is over.
You know, Mark Moss was saying the exact same thing when I was speaking at his event. He was talking about, if you want to get outside of the system, or if you want to be anti-fragile, you've got to focus on your payment system.
Yeah.
That's what's crucial. What do you think of Locals?
Never heard of it. Sorry.
The Locals with, they just merged with Rumble.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not following the,
it's like a Patreon.
Got it.
That Dave Rubin set up, and then he sold it to Rumble.
Who's hosting it on the server? Because that's the next pinch point. You know,
right.
is AWS hosting the platform? So the point is, again, and not to belabor it, but this is a very, very dangerous Rubicon that we've crossed. Justin Trudeau is an experiment, and if he gets away with it, it's coming here.
Let me see how long we've been on here for 36 minutes. How do you think and if you don't want to go into this, that's fine, but how do you think the global elite play into this? Because I have a very hard time believing that this is all Justin Trudeau and there's not someone there that, let's just say, is influencing.
Yeah. I mean, the standard,
I always go to the World Economic Forum.
Yeah. World Economic Forum.
The Davos crowd.
And the great global reset.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not a hole I've spent a lot of time digging into. I never imagined that we would get to this point. Maybe I should have. I can't say that I've done the research. I know that a lot of people say that. I look, anytime I tweet about Trudeau, there's all kinds of tweets in my thread. And many of them are this famous video from Klaus. I forget what his full name is. Klaus Schwab, the head of the WF. Thank you. Basically bragging about how Justin Trudeau was a young rising leader in the WEF, and he had sort of inserted him in the Canadian government. Forget the exact language that he used. Let's just put it this way. Their behavior makes it more difficult to discount those quote unquote conspiracy theories.
Yeah, good point.
Whether or not they're true, I don't know. But they certainly are behaving in a way that makes them more plausible.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Doomberg, for my viewers and listeners who want to check out that article or find out more about what you do, where can they go?
Doomberg.substack.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at DoombergT. Put the letter T as in Thomas at the end of the word Doomberg. Unfortunately, somebody's squatting on at Doomberg, but you know, one has to make do with what's available. But the real primary place is to head over to Doomberg.substack.com and sign up with your email. Put yourself on a potential unbanked list for reading such fringe and unacceptable views that we publish 2 to 3 times a week over on the Substack.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
And for the viewers on right now, guys, this is why I always conclude every single video with, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism.